Episode 246, Call on Me. With your playoffs underway or roto season in the home stretch, we're going to look at September call-ups and yet to be respected hitting prospects. It's time for Dingers.
This is Dingers, way more than fantasy baseball. We keep it real when we talk and knock it straight out the park. Let's see the stats. What's the average draft position? What kind of plays you making? Check the wins above replacement. Check the lineups and the points. This I gotta see. What's your path to victory? Are they aiming for a dynasty? Get points going head to head. Please don't do me no favors. We're always watching waivers. Ain't no minor league. This is major. Yeah, Dingers. Let's go.
Welcome to Dingers, the only fantasy baseball podcast for smart people. It's not just Wyatt Langford that wins you championships. That's why week in and week out, we're delivering tips and strategies to help you live that straight up OG lifestyle. Tyler Childs joined, as always, by Robbie Baseball from the Murder Room. What's happened, Robbie?
Nothing. I thought for sure you were going to say it's not Wander Franco who will win you championships, but
so
maybe that
I looked and I tried to find another Wander that I could justify getting that spot and then start with Wander and then use the other last name, but I couldn't come up with that. So I was going to do the old bait and switch, but didn't get there.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. I mean,
I did make Cincinnati to have former Jonathan.
Oh,
and I read Jonathan India bobblehead.
Nice bobblehead snag.
Yeah. I also picked up, the Mr. Red Legs dude with the baseball head guy. So I got that one in the office as well.
When I was at the Jays game on Sunday, there was a group in front of us who was holding up a sign that said like Kikuchi because he was pitching. It was the worst pitching matchup between the two teams. Of the 10 potential starters, it was the two I did not want to see. It was Noah Syndergaard, who was DFA'd immediately after. I don't even know how the hell he got back to wherever he lives. Because he was stuck in Toronto because they DFA'd him before he even got on the team bus.
Daniel Norris picked him up in his van.
So he's in Milwaukee system. He was not pitching well. He was out, but then Kikuchi ended several innings with strikeouts, which after the game, when I was listening on the radio, they were talking about the fact that like the ump strike zone was all over the place. And I'm like, brutal. Yeah, I got the feeling based on the fact that most innings ended with like non-swinging strikeouts, that they were just ending innings and like to Kikuchi's benefit. And I forget if it was, I think it was four innings he ended with a strikeout. And I believe three of them were like looking. So anyway, that happened. And the people in front of me who did the sign, they got up on the Jumbotron. And wouldn't you know it, Robbie Baseball got up on the Jumbotron. And I was texting with Roto Ronnie at the time. And he was not happy that I got on, which I ended up getting on twice because of those people, because they had another sign that said, go Jays, go. And they were using their children to get on there, but they were all adults holding the signs very happily. Yeah. So,
the reason why I know the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And that they totally knew it. And that's what I was saying. I was there with work colleagues and I was saying to the one, like one of the big bosses, I was like, yeah, like the only reason that they got the kids to like put their handprints and stuff on it the day before was so that they could hold it up and then be like, I'm on the Jumbotron. But what they also did was they bought two bobbleheads. They bought a bow one with like real hair at the back or something like Bo's Flow, which I had not seen that bobblehead before. And they bought a Manoa one. And the one kid was twisting Manoa's head so bad, like out of the box, they bought these and was twisting it so bad and then let it go and it like drooped to the side. I'm like, well, maybe that's what Manoa should do. You know, maybe he should just stick his head down because nothing's working for him. So,
yeah. No, I like it. Yeah, no, it's, I also caught a game in Minnesota, checked out Target Field. They don't have bobbleheads there, which is very disappointing. I don't know how that's possible in this day and age. But cool ballpark. There was also a Carly Pierce concert after the game, which was just super random. But yeah, we had a nice little baseball swing there, Robbie. While I've been MIA from the podcast.
Well, your MIA results in my MIA. We haven't recorded it.
So but today's long. The little man's birthday, so they're all in bed, and now we're recording podcast time. So, you know, this is how you got to fit it all together, right?
make it work. Yep, make it.
And on that note, in celebration of the birthday.
A long time ago, someone decided to put stuff in glass bottles. In some of these bottles, they put juice or milk, and that was stupid. Today, only alcohol and a few other products remain in the containers from the gods. It's time for beers and bourbon, because good advice only comes in a bottle.
There it is. So, Ty, I'm looking forward to knowing what you've got. Mine is a community-supported, worker-owned brewery in Kitchener.
Called, does it say that on the can?
Yeah, TBW, Cooperative Brewing. This one is their Birds and Bees Blonde Ale. I love blonde ales. I'm looking forward to this one. And I bought it because I was at the St. Jacob's Farmers Market on the normal people side. Sometimes I go on the buying massive pallets and stuff like that for work side. Yep. But this time I was at the spot where you buy apple fritters and all the fun stuff. Anyway, they're selling alcohol there. And I bought, originally went to their stand because they were selling a beer with sea buckthorn in it. Which was
sea buckthorn.
Yeah.
It's like an umpire.
Or a failed minor leaguer, or the failed minor leaguer teams, you know, the
Buckthorns.
The London sea buckthorn. Sea buckthorn is, it looks almost like a corn kernel, a little more orange with red at the bottom. But it's like a cranberry that's been reduced 5 times. It's super tart. And I ordered in a bunch of this stuff and made a sorbet with it in the spring for a special Canadian menu that we did. Of course, we are Canadians recording Fantasy Baseball Podcast. And I was joking with the chef in my kitchen. I'm the assistant chef in the kitchen that this is such a great thing. Anyway, when I saw this beer, I'm like, I got to buy it and have him over to have one. So he doesn't know that, like, whenever he comes to my house next, we're diving into some sea buckthorn lager. But in the meantime, I'm going to try out their Birds and Bees Blonde Ale. I did see something floating in this can, though, after I opened it. So I'm less excited than I was before. But yeah, I'm assuming you've got something, like, exciting.
I just finished the end of the Basil Hayden.
Oh, okay.
So it's been sitting down here on the desk while I've been traveling. Doing nothing. Now it's gonna do something.
Okay, well, so we're gonna do something too, which we haven't for a while, which is record an entire podcast. Like, I don't know, Kai, is it even worth saying that you can find us on what used to be known as Twitter anymore? I don't go on it, you know.
I think it is, because then we can make the DMX set, or the what is no,
yeah, okay. Well, it's at Dingers Pod, yeah, you can find just Kai at 30 Boss. And you can find me at RobbieBaseball1, but you can't actually find me there. Maybe if you send me a DM, that'll come up as my notifications. But otherwise, I'm pretty much tuned out on it because it's just not appealing to me anymore. I love fantasy baseball. I love the fantasy baseball world and community. But on Twitter, it's just become disinteresting to me. You know, you walk away from it without information that's fun. Once upon a time, it was a fun, exciting place to get things. It's become so much clickbait, even with, you know, people we would consider colleagues now. It's unfortunate. So, but tonight, Ty, we do have some call-ups to talk about, some that have happened, some potential call-ups. I'll talk while you do it. I'm super pro. We know for sure a few guys have come up. One just struck out with the bases juiced for Toronto. That's Davis Schneider, who has been amazing, remarkable on everything you want to say about a guy. You can say about Schneider, who now has 6, count them, 6 dingers. And this is in 2 stretches. He sat for a week on the bench in between. And he's got, is it 3 games in a row he's homer? He didn't homer last night.
No, I don't believe
so. No. So it's 3 of 4 that he's homered in. He's been just excellent. And we were talking about it beforehand, that he's a third baseman, first baseman in AAA, as well as playing some outfielder. In the show so far, he's a utility player, a realistic utility player, but in the show, he's been left field, second base. And ideally at some point in time, Toronto's going to move him to third base to give him a shot there. Cause I see absolute opportunity for him come 2023 to be an everyday player in some role. We know it won't be, starting first baseman, but if he is able to play first base, he could definitely spill, you know, the Vladdy DH days. We know there's like Belt will not be back. Chapman, they got to let walk. Biggio should not be tendered a contract. And between those three positions, Schneider already has one of the top 26. He should just get some more at-bats out of this. I really like him. And he's a high school drafted guy who just was developed so slowly that when we talk about the 2023 MLB Rule 4 draft, I got about a dozen guys who could be very similar in progression, which is you see nothing for 2 years, then you see full season ball, then you see an advancement. Now, Schneider did, of course, have the 2020 season where he got nothing, and that really, you know, slowed him down by a year. But there are so many guys who start this way, and if they're not bonus babies, which Schneider was not, they don't stick around for long because they can't afford it. So Schneider's one of the lucky guys, finally got to AAA last year. Very good AAA player this year, got the promotion, had that great opening weekend, then sat on the bench for a week, came back last weekend. Hopefully now he's in the plans for September. If he's available on your wire in dynasty leagues because the playing time wasn't there after his first week, I would look to get him. I don't see anything wrong with Schneider now, but I really like Schneider for next year.
Well, and I think one thing that could be interesting, and I don't know if you, I assume you saw this today with the Angels basically putting their entire roster on waivers. I think there could be an interesting Hunter Renfro fit for the Jays, which would then put Whit Merrifield back on the infield where he belongs. That could be an interesting pickup, and then bump one of those, you know, soft bats, either Biggio or Espinal, off of the starting lineup or the core 25 at the very least, with the expanded rosters here. So could be something. They've got Ernie Clement and what's the McCoy guy came up today. neither of those guys I think are held highly, even though Ernie Clement's hitting like 340 this season in AAA and has a 500 batting average at the pro level. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen there. We'd rather run out this off, but I could see the solution, the right big right-handed power bat that we've missed most of the year in Toronto. All the injuries could actually make that a reasonable pickup for the Jays. And they're kind of desperate. So I think they might take a swing at something like that and get ownership to buy in on that. We'll see.
I do want to circle back to the Angel thing, because I honestly didn't think that that was worthy of conversation, but of course it is. Just so everyone's aware at the moment, if you have someone in your fantasy league that does this, if they don't kick themselves out, you kick them out. You know, when they do this, they acquire players and then it doesn't work out. And then they just like throw them out on waivers for competing teams to go get for just their remaining contract. But Lucas Giolito, Matt Moore, Reynaldo Lopez, Hunter Renfro, and Randall Grichuk all went on waivers. All of them are viable MLB players on, I don't know, every team. You know, you could find a spot on every roster for these guys. Last week, they'd also DFA'd Tyler Anderson. Or sorry, I shouldn't say DFA. They put him on waivers. And then because he's in a three-year contract in the first year, he just was like, well, I'm not going to leave. So I'll stay on the team. You still owe me for, you know, what's the $40 million deal, something like that. He's in the first year of it. It's really embarrassing to be an Angels fan right now after being somewhat proud of them for trying to go for it and then it not working out. It's just unfortunate because, like, they've called up everyone they can, right? Like, they've maxed themselves out and they're just not getting it done. But the fact that they're trying to just save a few million dollars instead of trying to somehow magically, you know, have that 21-8 September run, this really sucks. And it looks horrible. And it's like, why would not just Ohtani want to leave? Why would Trout want to stay when this is what they're going to do, right? They're trying to punt after the deadline of punting, which was your trade deadline. They bought. Yeah. And then they're like, you know what? We need those revocable waivers. We don't have those anymore. This is so bad. Like, what? Imagine
they're just trying to get some money off the books. That's all.
I know, but isn't that embarrassing? Like, isn't don't you think that?
I mean, if they're going to try to make a run at signing some of these guys, like at signing anyone, like they really need to save money to do it. So, Art Moreno's in.
None of these guys are making $25 million. You know, you're not saving $8 million. If one guy goes, you're at best going to save $5 million if someone takes all of them.
Yeah. It's not a lot, but I mean, it also could be something for those guys too. Like they ripped them away from competing teams and they're like, maybe they're just saying, hey, listen, like we would love to have you back next year as a token of good faith. We'd love you to have an opportunity to go play on a contender. We'll throw you out on waivers and let you have a shot at that. Right. I mean, it could be a player move, and it could be something where, like, listen, we don't really need to let Giolito give up four runs every time we play. Like, we've got lots of guys that can do that. You know, there's no real reason to hold on to that. So, you know, there's a lot of things that could be behind the scenes here. It's an interesting move. You don't see a team do it at this volume, like, forever.
Right.
One guy here or there has been leaked onto this move, but never have you seen five, six guys, and especially a bunch that were just acquired. It's a very odd move.
Yeah. Harrison Bader apparently might also be. Carlos Carrasco, we've seen reported. Clevenger.
Clevenger would be a sneaky pickup. Like, his ERA is like 3-4.
Yeah, you just got to
be good this year.
It's the tarnished, you know, personal side for him that is something that I guess whoever would want him would have to deal with. But yeah, I mean, anyway, it's just, yeah, for me, this is really embarrassing. But I really like your take on it, Ty, that maybe this is something they talk to the guys about. Like, we're going to give you the opportunity to go compete. Now, the trick here would be for Oakland to pick up at least two of them and just upset people so that they never want to find themselves in those situations again. So, but anyway, so we'd also discuss the fact that we had the potential call-up guys. I said David Schneider. We saw Mason Wynn a couple of weeks ago. Where were the other guys? I just had my list here. Jordan Wicks has been up. Cedeña Rafael with the Red Sox. Kyle Harrison, who was just striking everybody out, is now up with the Giants. Everson Pierria, Oswald Peraza is back up with the Yankees. Parker Meadows with the Tigers. And Meadows has had an awesome season at AAA. So I think this is an up-and-stay move, very much like the Reds with Noelly Marte. And then Nolan Schunel, I'm sure I got that wrong. He was drafted 11th overall in the most recent MLB draft. He's the fastest guy up in 40 years, Ty. Wow. If I'm wrong on that, it's because he's the fastest position player up in 40 years. And if I'm wrong on that, it's because he's the fastest first baseman up in 40 years. It's one of those stupid records, like the guy who has 8 doubles to start his major league career is now in the record books for that. That's ready to lease everybody. Anyway, those are some of the guys who are up. If you haven't already, you know, looked into them for your whatever leagues, they've all been guys who have been of note. If for some reason I had one league, Ty, who the trade deadline was like last Thursday, very late in August. That was an interesting one to see people trying at the last minute to get in our playoff start 2 weeks after the deadline. Super, super short period of time. But those guys are up. Randy Vasquez, we've seen him come up and down a little bit this year. So I don't know. Are there players within this list that you're looking at or guys you roster that, you know, in my situation, I'm not looking to pull these guys up unless they start hitting. I don't want to pull them up just because they're up. You know, that doesn't always help.
I don't have anyone in that list. It's kind of between the waves of most of my teams. I've got more of the next wave that's coming. And I do think there's potential for a handful of them to come up. There's a couple really interesting ones for me that I'm seeing as a potential call-up. Like, I think Ronnie Mauricio, we're going to see for the Mets. I think that one is long overdue on his own merit, let alone with the expanded roster. And I think a sneaky one that no one is going to see that could happen is in Detroit and Colt Keith. But I think that'll be dependent on whether they bring up Henry Molloy. And if they're like, I think if they're bringing one, they're bringing both.
Okay. So you think he would be first up with Keith to follow? Okay.
Yeah. I think Keith, like, I don't think either of them really need any more time in AAA, to be honest, but it's just one of those things. Like, I think you want to keep some of those players together. The fact that Meadows has come up already suggests that they're not really expecting that AAA team to compete, or you probably wouldn't bring Meadows up, even though that AAA team is very good. I think they're kind of signaling a little bit that they're not going to, you know, most teams generally keep those core guys coming together to make a championship run in whatever level they're at.
Win a championship, then they're champions together. They move up to the next level.
Exactly. So they kind of told us with the Parker Meadows move that it's not likely going to be the play, because it's not like Parker Meadows all of a sudden make Detroit a competitor. So I think we could see Colkey just from an experience perspective. I don't think he's going to run out there every day. I don't think you're going to see a huge number of at-bats. So anybody that's like, sweet, I'm going to win the championship now. Probably not. You know, he's just going to be a guy that I think if he comes up, and it's still a very big if, just a look. But it's one of my favorite guys in the entire minor leagues. I've been telling you that for years, Robbie. And he's delivered on that one.
Well, another guy I really like, Heston Kjerstad, potential with Baltimore.
He's got to be up.
He falls under the reason why you bring up the guy now, like Corbin Carroll, right? You bring him up exactly like Corbin Carroll. Let them get their feet wet. Let them understand, especially, you know, with AL East, like Baltimore is doing good, not great, right? But they're in competitive games and they're trying to be spoilers now. Cubs could, of course, decide they're going to bring Matt Mervis back up, who is having a fine season at AAA. But I just like kind of pick on the Matt Mervis love that we saw a year ago. Everybody was over the moon with Matt Mervis, like he hadn't existed before. And then the fact that he wasn't able to win everybody their fantasy league. But a guy that I actually would love to see back, and I've talked about this on one of our previous podcasts, is Bobby Dalbec, who's just murdering AAA. I don't know if he's changed. Like Luke and Baker is another one, right? 33 bombs in AAA, but he doesn't have a spot. But the Red Sox are a team that could make room for Dalbec to come back because he's got control. And for all of us waiting on Alberto Mondesi to come back and win our fantasy season for us, he's been shut down, I think, for the fourth time now after he was supposed to be facing live hitters. So we will not see him this year. And then somebody that was getting a bit of love from the pitching side with the Red Sox, Brandon Walter, he could be up. We could see him. I don't know about Nick York. That might be a little early for him. Same deal with Nathan Hickey. No need to bring those kind of guys up. Houston has a couple of like
jumping back really quick, just before you get too far away from Chicago. I'm going to see Pete Crow Armstrong as a speed guy off the bench. I think we're just going to see the experience get thrown in there. And I think it's a backup plan if they can't re-sign Bellinger. I think they're going to want to get him some major league at-bats before that. So I think we'll see him here just to get a few at-bats down the stretch, pinch run off the bench, play some probably defensive replacement innings late in some games. So just as a note there, I very similar to Keith. Like I don't expect it to be a full workload of at-bats either.
Yeah. Yeah. Houston, again, you know, playoff team competing, they need impact people. So we've already seen Brandon Bielak, the starting pitcher / relief pitcher, come up. He was then sent back down because they were getting their tits ripped and they just fed him to the Wolves last week. So he could come back. He was a really serviceable starter for a while. I could see him come back up in a better controlled role in a couple of days. JJ Matchevic, who's just like a bomber at AAA, he could come up. Again, I don't know, though, because he hasn't been able to. He falls under that Houston realm of they don't give him the opportunity. And when he has been given the slightest, he hasn't ran with it. So I don't know that he's their guy. It's more than likely Corey Jukes will come back up with them. But this is a competing team. And Ty, we'll talk Philly here quickly. But before that, I all season long in our one Dynasty League 2014 Dynasty League, which I didn't make the playoffs in, I'm in the bracket now trying for a higher draft slot where the eight teams that just missed the playoffs go into a draft slot for the top eight spots because we don't want to reward terrible team building by giving the teams that are the worst the top slots, but it's a universal draft. So everybody can really get better the first four rounds, no matter what happens. Your top 100 picks year after year get better. But anyway, in that league, Trey Turner has been so ineffective and CJ Abrams has been getting so much better that I've swapped the two and Turner is now on my bench. And I can't believe that's happening right now that I've got Trey Turner on my bench and a guy who was a prospect somewhat bust, you know, with San Diego and then moved to Washington. And people kind of forgot about him. He's now, I think he's got 34 stolen bases right now, something like that. He's just been great the last month in from a fantasy standpoint. And Trey Turner has been struggling all damn year. And I don't know if Philly's, like, they're not going to make the same kind of moves they did last year where we saw, like, four different dudes come up. This year, I think it's got to be pitching heavy, right? If Phillies are truly thinking that they've got October baseball ahead of them, then they've got to be thinking about getting some pitchers some opportunities to maybe bring them in and continue them and or give them just a couple of opportunities to be with the big league club and look at them for 2024.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of guys to kind of look at beyond this, you know, and there's some veterans that are out there that I think we could see. make some jumps. Like we might see a David Bode in Chicago, right? That's somebody that's been floating around. You know, there's certainly some guys like we talked about Victor Reyes with the White Sox just hanging around in AAA, having a reasonable AAA season. You know, there's a lot of things going on there that could be really, really interesting. But, you know, I think there's always something to realize here is that any of these guys getting called up, if they're on an even remotely competitive team, probably not taking very many at-bats.
No.
One guy, Robbie, that did make a big jump into AAA that, you know, I've dumped on for a while, but has had a red-hot start in AAA is Jason Dominguez, who absolutely tore the cover off the ball for a few games here. So definitely somebody that if the Yankees are trying to sell some tickets in September, which they likely will have to try to do, they might throw that one out just to put some buzz into the wind.
Lessen the booze, right?
Well, yeah, because right now they suck. Like they're harder to watch than the Jays, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah. The possibility for them too, they like Devi Garcia. Like, remember Devi Garcia, everybody? We loved him three, four years ago. And then it just didn't come together. Well, there's other guys. What's it? Fitz is his last name. He was with Double A, doing very well. There was the talk of potentially having him come up. I don't know that Richard Fitz, maybe. I don't know that that's possible. On the Blue Jays side, we already mentioned Schneider's up. I don't know that we'll see anybody other than possibly Horwitz. He's having a great season.
I mean, it's interesting because like Barger and Orvelas Martinez have had very good August, both with pretty significant OPSs in the 900. Both have improved on the hit tool, which has been the knock on both of them. So I think, you know, those guys, I don't know that they'll rush them, but the injury to Chapman makes it interesting, right? Like it's not one that if Chapman's healthy, I don't think either of them have even a remote chance. But I think it's more likely we see one of them than it is that we see Horwitz. And that's because we don't need another soft hitting lefty. Like we got enough of those. Right. We need somebody with some pop from the right side, which frankly is Martinez. So that's going to be the interesting one. We're certainly not going to pick up Josh Donaldson, who was released today. that's not happening. I do think Hunter Renfroe is very real because then you move Witt in. They were working out Vladdy at third as well.
Were they really?
He can't be any worse than he is at first. He's the worst defensive first baseman. Defending gold love gold.
I was just going to say a defending gold glover, Ty. Listen to you.
Well, and we talked about it when he won that award. That he had no business winning it because he's not very good over there. Yes. Shocking that he's found himself in this spot. So, I mean, he legitimately can't start when Ryu's pitching ever. But, you know, he could start for some of those other ones. Like, it's very realistic that we might see some innings for him over there. Gets Belt in there, who's a pretty reasonable defensive first baseman. I think there's a lot that could happen with that Jays team, but I think if you're calling up from the minors, I think just based on all of that, it has to be probably Martinez for me.
It's small moves because you're not going to rock the boat with that veteran team, right? Because that's what they keep hammering over and over again. This is a veteran club. They've been here before, blah, 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 rah, rah, just get it done. If you go to the other end of that, the Royals have a lot of options that they could, a lot of guys they could throw here. I mean, you could basically replace the rotation if you wanted to see, but you don't have three pitchers worthy of those times. But you do have a bunch of utility type guys, Tyler Gentry, Nick Lofton, CJ Alexander to a lesser degree. They could all see time, and that would be interesting just to shake things up a bit. It looks like, Massey? Is that right? Michael Massey, whatever his name. I have him in a league. I'm going to look his name up just so I get it right. He has got his snot together over the last month. It is Michael Massey. Yeah, second base. Yep. He's been all over the lineup, though. Tonight he's batting eight. Yeah, he's batting eighth now. But he's been good. He went from like a sub-200 average to what was he hitting most recently? His peak this so far has been 229, August 22nd. OBP, everything has just been improving, but it was such a terrible start that it's still end of year line is not going to look good. He's definitely somebody I think could be a starter next year, wire to wire, because he's also been hitting in the three spot with the Royals, which is saying something, because when you get hot and you're rewarded for it, that's a good thing. So They're interesting. Ty, do you want to talk about the Pirates at all? They've got, I mean, they're a very similar team in the, not in the playoff hunt, but you know, the Central's so bad they can really be disruptors.
Well, I think I read yesterday that O'Neill Cruz, I think, got shut down for a little bit too. He was having some issues. I'm not really sure what they're going to do. I mean, I don't think they have anybody that's like a must call up that they haven't already kind of pushed. Like they moved the catchers. You know, the rest of the guys, I don't think are quite ready. Is there somebody that you think, like Jared Jones is a guy that, you know, theoretically, you know, could, but that's a push and I don't know why you would do it at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So let me, I have to look here and hop on to my Fantrax account and have a quick look through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, one of my 7 Fantrax leagues that I've got going on right now. And have a look, because this is wild card week in that particular league. And I'm not in it because I am a division champ tie for the 4th consecutive year. But this year I did it with a lot of them and tape. And Jared Triolo with the Pirates is a guy who started off okay, you know, good, not great. And then with Jaehwan Bey, who is back now from injury, Triolo was sent down, but he was sent down with a 273 average. This is 121 at bats, 33 hits, but here's the problem, 2 doubles, 1 home. So, you know, that's not getting you a lot. And I had him in a points league, so it's a little easier to get by because if he walks, you know, if he steals bases, if he does all these things, but he's been down for about 2 weeks now. He went out with a bang though. His last 3 games, he combined for 17.5 fantasy points. He had 4 RBIs over that span, 2 stolen bases, 3 walks, 3 Ks. Really like good OBP guy. So your OBP leagues, you want him too, but he's just not in the plans for the Pirates. So he's someone I'd like to see up because I'd like to see the opportunity more so than I would like to see Nick Gonzalez, you know, continue to get it just because Triolo has a limited window to prove himself and Gonzalez is going to get some play at some point in time. So that would be my Pirate if I'm just picking one.
Yeah, and I think the guy they should move is likely Quinn Priester, right? Get him up and get him some more major league innings. That did not go well the first time. So, like, the nice part about the expanded rosters is if he continues to be bad and blow up, you can just wheel in new relievers from AAA, and you can just keep recycling that for the rest of the, you know, the days here. So, I mean, that's what I'd like to see. But I think that would be best for his development because putting him at AAA at this point, like he needs to get beat and get beat hard because he can sneak the fastball by the minor leaguer still. He's not going to have that luck with the major league guys. So that I think would be best for his development. They may or may not do that, but I really don't like anybody else, Robbie, outside of that.
No.
Just given, you know, they've got a couple guys that are a little further away.
And for the Rockies as another option, because this is another, you know, kind of lost team here. Other than Aaron Shunk, there isn't anyone that you really want. They did recently acquire Mason Albright. You don't want to do that to him. You don't want to do that to anybody else that's like further back in your system, push anybody up. Sean Bouchard, who's a guy who had shoulder surgery, I think, in the spring, was somebody who was up with the club late last year and was kind of a highlighted rookie. Like he didn't, you know, exceed rookie limits. He's somebody that would have been good, but after his rehab assignment, he was batting. Let me very quickly look here because this is why we're not going to see him. To 188 with 569 OPS and 21 plate appearances. So they're going to let him like get right before, but he would be the other guy I think we could see with the Rockies. But at the same time, who cares about the Rockies when they're not like, I mean, you know, it's Nolan Jones for your unsung prospect type hero. I don't know. I don't know who else to tell you. Everybody else is going to be highly thought of on the Rockies or hated, you know, Chris Bryant hated by all the dynasty owners out there who still have to roster him, you know, basically like my SM Odyssey. I've got him. I'm in a long-term relationship with him and I'm not happy about it. I'm in year one of a 5-year deal with him in one league. Very much like people who are waters their second of Chris Bryant, thinking Colorado was going to be a saving grace location for him, and he hasn't played half a season in 2 years. So they're not ideal spots. I'm just looking here, Ty. Yeah, so Bader went on waivers today. I surprised. Well,
he's only got a mil left, right? So there's somebody that's going to claim him. I mean, I think that's similar to the Yankees. I think they're making room in that outfield for what we talked about before. Like Esteban Florial is also
Jersey's
down in AAA.
Florial's had a heck of a year at AAA, yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah. I think you bring up both of them in that Yankees team and just try to see what you got. Run Pereira out there. Get Stanton off his feet. Get Judge off his feet. Like, there's no point in even risking those guys at this point in the year for the Yankees. They're toast. So I think just limit their at-bats down the stretch and see what the kids can do. Right, I just think that's the right move for the organization, because you know, other than that, like Yankees fans are gonna bail on him. Like, I mean, it's over. So, you know, outside of going and booing Boston when Boston's trying to compete, there's not much else to live for as a Yankee fan right now. So, I think those are two interesting ones. I could see Bader in Oakland as a guy that like they tend to like. Like, it's just a good, but it's a realistic fit for them. They love those tiny little center fielders that zip around and play good defense. So that one definitely could be a fit.
I just think that anyone that gets put on waivers like in that scenario would be very upset to go to the last place. 100%
they would.
You know,
well,
but like for Oakland, they're like, hey, Harrison, we're thinking about you for the rebuild. But the one thing that, you know, Oakland can do is, you know, 2 years from being in the basement, they can be in the playoffs.
Well, then be better. Like, sorry,
they have the ability. He could be the guy that leads them to Vegas. It could be Bader to Vegas.
I mean, he's got the tight t-shirt. He's ready for the strip. So that's for sure a thing. You know, Oakland is a team that really has called up anybody that's worth noting. So I don't think there's a lot to cover there. Atlanta's an interesting one for me, Robbie. Like, you've got a couple guys that we've talked about earlier in the year. The middle infield guys really aren't considered so much prospects anymore. But you know, your boy Grisham, probably not going to see him at all. What do you think they're going to do at this point?
I mean, Grisham's doing so well. I mean, he's just going to be traded this offseason. It's just for the sake of his career, I'm sure they were talking at the trade deadline, trying to find a partner that was going to give them whatever they needed back, which I'm sure was starting pitching. That probably,
well, they need to replace Charlie Morton. Right? Like, that's going to be the offseason for them.
Yeah. And maybe that's exactly it. They were like, well, we wouldn't be interested in making a move for prospect A for, you know, Vaughn at this moment in time, but possibly that would be offseason talk. Right. So then you're like, perfect. Let's bench it to then. But all of Atlanta's best prospects right now are pitchers, Schuster, Waldrop, Schwalenbach, Cooler, Owen Murphy, even, who's like a real fun little high school guy. J.R. Ritchie, another high school drafted guy from last year. Cole Phillips, even. Like, none of these guys you're excited to have come up. The one guy that could be fun, Darius Vines, who was hurt all year. He's now getting himself right. He could be a possible guy. But you still have, oh my goodness, who's the Canadian tie? Who's the two-time Tommy John?
Soroka. He's been really good, too, in the minors lately.
You could have Soroka, and they also, you know, they've sent down so many other pitchers, but it's because they're not performing that I don't know exactly what Atlanta would do. I
forgot about Soroka. It's going to be Soroka. Like, that's a for sure.
Yeah. You think that's the one?
He's just been too good.
Like, I guess we're kind of
double check here, like, to make sure he hasn't blown up since I've not been looking.
I was going to say, we can kind of fall into this category now, maybe rest of episode, as well as talking about the teams that'll call up, will be some of the unsung prospect guys who have yet to get their hype. So when we move to Arizona, it's a good opportunity to do that. We've got like Avon Melendez, who was drafted last year, first base, third baseman guy. He's somebody who hasn't yet caught on to the hype train that I think could be interesting. I don't think he'll be up. I just think he's of interest to me. Wilder Patino, who's a 22-year-old guy, unfortunately only at rookie ball, but also somebody slowly but surely coming up. Blake Jarvis, I think he's just a rotation guy, rest of year. You know, you want to get some guys some experience so that they're not like Slade Ciccione. You want to just give those guys the mound so they can do it. But the one guy that I think is really interesting is Christian Robinson with Arizona, who we talked about in the offseason, Ty. I was very cold on him. You admittedly were hot and said, you know, he'll get this stuff sorted out. I didn't realize that when he was arrested and what happened to him that has caused him the visa stuff, like, I don't know if this is newer information that came out, but I certainly couldn't find in the offseason as to what exactly had happened, that he was having like a mental breakdown, like a nervous breakdown. And he was not right in the head. And he claimed that at the time. And I mean, I hope I just missed it and that this has always been the scenario. And I certainly feel bad if I made light of that situation with him, because the talent has been there with him. The fact that he was not at the time right as what a 20-year-old, and now he's 22, but he's back playing baseball and Arizona's taking it slow with him. But they might be taking it slow with him at to end 2023, they might be ready to push him as a 23-year-old in 2024. Well,
but here's the thing. I'm not so sure about that. They threw him through waivers a couple weeks ago, and he passed through, which I still can't believe happened.
Really?
Yeah, between him and Florial, I don't know if the rest of the league's just sleeping, right? Neither of those guys should pass through waivers for about 26 teams. And even the other four probably should be on the board, including the teams that put him on waiver in the first place. So, I'm not so sure they're comfortable with who he is yet, given what you just kind of highlighted, but the talent's for sure there. Like even through all of that, he's still hitting, 280 or whatever he's at now. I'm just trying to pull that up now while you were talking there.
So in A ball, he came back at the end of May. That's when he officially had his visa stuff sorted out. He's played the bulk of his games, which is 32 games at A ball, batted 274, but then he was up to high A most recently and batting 265. This is someone who's getting back into pro ball after a 4-year absence. So
yeah.
No 2020, no 21, no 2022, right? Like, that's a long gap.
And here's what I really like, Robbie, 824 OPS with a 375 OBP. So, he's got all the things to be a huge breakout guy moving into next year. I'm with you. Like now for sure, my concern at this stage is why were the D-backs even remotely interested in putting this guy through waivers? The timing of it was an awkward time for teams. So that's fine. They were trying to get him off the 40 man.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. He was a 2017 J2 guy, so maybe that's all it was no one's going to take him on, we think. But, again, that's a big risk because you really never know.
Yeah. I'm shocked nobody took a risk on that one, to be honest. There's some really bad, empty organizations right now. Hello, Kansas City, paying attention. There's some teams that definitely should have taken some shots on both of those guys. But that just to me says there's something else going on here behind the scenes. And maybe it's one of those things they sent a memo hey, this guy needs to be here, guys. Everyone leave him alone. We need to get him off 40 man to keep him
safe. We need to get him somehow. Right. Yeah. For the sake of, his life, kid. Not so much.
Yeah, exactly. There could have been something like that. And we'll never know those things on this side of the fence, but, putting that in there, but I still like him long-term. 6'3", probably pushing 200 pounds now. There's definitely some power in that stroke. So I think we'll see that next year. I think next year will be the one where I was like, hey, where did this guy come from? Because everyone will somehow forget about him.
Right, yeah. Unlike Forrest Whitley, who no one will forget about because no one cares or we're never going to see him, Ty. Sorry, I just wanted to get another Houston dig in because I didn't do it off the hop. Nico Goodrum, I wanted to check really quickly here. What's he done? He's other than the walk machine. Yeah, he's with Boston. Okay, so we don't care to see him, whether he comes up or not. He's been released by Boston. Yeah, that's what I was just checking here.
One note I saw earlier today, just on a totally different note, just given Washington is top of mind. I saw an interesting note that we might see Jackson Rutledge, which I thought was kind of odd, given he's coming back from injuries. And again, it could be just a scenario where they want to see what he can do really quickly. I really don't think we're going to see it, given how good that team's playing right now. Adding a kid that's coming back from injury might not be the smartest move in the world, but it certainly is an arm that I've told you about recently that I'm still excited about. I think there's more here than people realize. But just as a guy that was thrown out there just oddly enough, as a guy that could be interesting.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. What's up with San Diego, Rangel Ravello, who's a 31-year-old guy batting 310 in AAA, 200 bats, mind you. He would be interesting. I would love to see Ty because it just hasn't come together, but it's supposed to. I would love to see a Cooper Hummel promotion. He's been first base all year. Yes, again, I'm diving back to DePoto with Seattle here. This is the guy that was traded for Kyle Lewis, rookie of 2020, rookie of the year. Kyle Lewis was traded for Cooper Hummel straight up in 300 at bats at AAA. Hummel has 72 walks, 26 stolen bases, 413 OBP. The batting average there is fine, 256, but the OPS is 838. He's not a big power guy, but he does hit doubles, 24 doubles. It just has not come together in MLB, and I don't know what the deal is. The problem with Cooper Hummel, who I was really excited for two off seasons ago, his age 26 season, is that he's now 28. So the window is very quickly closing on him to be excited for anyone right now. But this is when we're looking to see who could possibly come up and do something for you. Pittsburgh does have Alfonso Rivas as well. I don't know if he's up right now or not. He hasn't done well in the show. I mean, this same story, right, with these guys. Hasn't done well in the show, but AAA, he's been consistently a good player, and this year, no exception. I don't know if we'll see him, but that's just another guy I want to throw in. Trey Cabbage with the Angels, if a bunch of these guys get picked up, I would love to see Trey Cabbage return. He was a shoulder injury away from, I think, getting a shot last year. But this year at AAA, he's done very well. 307 average, 967 OPS. Was he 27 home runs, 31 stolen bases? You can't tell me you don't want to let that guy loose the month of September in an empty Angel Stadium.
Yeah, I agree. Well, did I tell you when they were in Toronto, the game was on Apple TV, and they had Whit Merrifield mic'd up for one of his first at-bats? And he's going up to the plate, and they got the camera on Whit, and Whit goes, "Oh, this guy's got to have some hair, right?" And he turns around, and he's got the mullet kind of going on the big jumbo screenshot. He's like, "Oh yeah, that's it. This guy, a name like Trey Cabbage, you got to have."
Yeah, that's a proper head of cabbage you got right there for him. It's like David Schneider with that mustache he's got. It's just so perfect for a 24-year-old rookie.
If baseball doesn't work out for Schneider, like, he can always sell knives door to door. Like, I mean, he's got the look for both outcomes.
So this is who he reminded me of, Ty. I know I've talked about him too much. You can tell I've got a boy crush on him, but he is the new lunchbox to me.
Yeah.
He's taken over Travis Schneider. He's got that young look to him. He's come out hot as he's been lefty bat, come out hot. And the difference was that Snyder was a high school drafted guy, bonus baby. But this is the other end of that. You know, Snyder could have been drafted the same year. Jesus, it's taken him so long. But he's only 24. So anyway, that's a bunch of those guys. I don't know if we want to just trickling a few more in. I've got a lineup that I've set up of underappreciated prospects that I'll just quickly kind of, you know, interrupt me at any time with these guys. But my infield for underappreciated MILBers this year, and this is going to range AAA down to single A. We'll start off with my catcher, Theron Lorenzo, 20-year-old J2 guy from 2021, I think. He's currently in A ball, 20 home runs this year, almost a 400 OBP. He's with the Dodgers. So he's currently their third ranked catcher prospect. But this is a guy, and he's in a great organization who develops catchers. Toronto, Spencer Horwitz, who I mentioned earlier, AAA MLB time this year, great average, OBP. His walk to K rate is elite. Houston's got second baseman for me, Joey Loperfido. It's got to be right. He's 24 years old. He did the fun thing, Ty. He did the AAA, AAA this year. He's had a 2020 season, 291 average as we record tonight. One of my favorite guys at the All-Star break who has slumped since, Ryan Ritter with Colorado, 22-year-old fourth-round pick last year, has not got the hype train on him because he did not excel after the All-Star break. But I really like Ryan Ritter as somebody to pick up this offseason. My third baseman is another guy drafted last year, third-rounder with Washington, Trey Lipscomb, 317 average, 13 home runs, 9 stolen bases. I believe that's at A to AA. I apologize if I'm wrong on that. I didn't write down his levels. And a fun outfielder with the Cubs, Jonathan Perlaza, 24 years old, J2 guy, I'm guessing that's going to be 7 years ago. Put him at 2017 class. 285 average, 19 home runs, 11 stolen bases with the Cubs. These are all underappreciated guys. Horwitz is the one guy of this group that we have seen in the show and the one guy in this group who was getting a bit of praise last offseason, but well outside anyone's top 100 prospect list. He's 25 years old, so this is his time to come in. Peraza, I think, is kind of a under the radar, you know, could actually be a Cub or just an MLB-er in general here. And then Lironzo is a catcher that I think is fun. I think this is a good guy to dream on, a 20-year-old hitting 20 bombs with about a 400 OBP. And there was concerns after they said, oh, he's really good catcher when he's 18, 19. The concerns the second half of his age 19 season was, oh, he's now not catching as well anymore. He's not framing. He's not blocking. Well, this year he's returned to what was previously a strong suit while also adding a buttload of power. So I'm a big fan of this guy as like underappreciated MILBers.
Yeah, I mean, I think one guy that I think is very underappreciated that I'm going to toss in here, and I think he's appreciated, but I think the average player doesn't know this one. And Thomas Segese, who went from the Rangers to the Cardinals in the Jordan Montgomery trade. That I think is a guy that has just absolutely raked, that a lot of people aren't really aware of, but at the same time, his BABIP is off the charts. He's got a 407 number, in his time with St. Louis this season, which is crazy. But, you know, since he's been traded, since the trade deadline, he has 9 home runs, Robbie. So,
wow,
that's pretty,
so he likes the new environment.
Yeah, and I mean, that Springfield team that he's on is pretty good. They got LJ Jones and a handful of other guys that are rattling off some good wins. They actually had a 9-run comeback on Saturday. So there's just a lot going on in that team. But I think he's just a guy that, you know, if you look at his profile, you look at his scouting numbers, like, he's not off the charts. He's one of those guys kind of like a Schneider that's just doing the thing he's supposed to do. Not loud, just kind of consistent, just kind of one of the better players on his team, and not really turning heads yet. But I think he's a guy that on a couple of the underlying data rankings that I've seen, he started to pop up, but he's not kind of as high on boards as he should be.
Okay.
And so I think that's one to note there.
Yeah. And I know for sure next episode, we can definitely dive into starting pitching prospects who under the same guys here are not getting the hype that they deserve. I drafted one. We do have a league that's currently drafting right now in August. And I got to say, Ty, Fantrax is not a fan of the fact that we are drafting in August, because we have to create a separate league to draft in. They have to waive the $100 fee for it because we're a premium league within them. And then we have to manually transfer all those guys over to our main league afterwards. But it's a fun time to draft because we're getting into our season stretch drive. Now we'll be into our playoffs and we're drafting for the future. And, you know, we see 27-year-olds getting drafted in this, and we see 16-year-olds getting drafted in this. And it's a great draft because there's a lot of really good, smart prospect people in this league. And, you know, in the fifth, sixth round, when you're 110 plus picks deep into a draft where there's already 900 minor leaguers spread across the 30 teams, we have different guys, myself included, saying, oh man, great pick, you know, in the 110th round or 110th pick. It's like, oh, I was hoping that guy would be there for me, because we have to think long term, you know, or does this guy have a brief pocket where he can come up before a bunch of these, you know, high school prospects that say Washington has, right? Is there a guy that's a college drafted guy that could maybe jump the gun on some of these guys? And this is the kind of league where you can really flex your prospect muscle. And like Ty had said, you know, you do a deep dive on a few guys and all of a sudden you really talk yourself into liking a player. You just have to be careful that you don't do that and then assume that they're going to be your starter. And then you ignore that position. I mean, I lucked out in several leagues with Connor Wong, sticking with him long-term. And not replacing, you know, getting other veteran catchers in time. But he's Connor Wong by no stretch is a top 10 catcher. He's a guy in deep leagues that you can get by with. We're not superstar shopping here, but we would love at this point in our draft, to find a few guys that could be everyday MLBers. Because man,
you're not super help sure shot. I still got three in my queue.
You only have three left in your queue. I like that.
No. I have three superstars left in my queue.
Oh, three superstars. Yeah. I still have three guys I think could be very impactful. My queue currently has 66 players left in it. We are in what round of our draft? We are in the 11th round of this draft and 30 team league, like I said. So we are closing in on about 300 drafted players, and I still have 66 in my queue. So
the guy at the top of my queue has a, and the quote was, for lack of better comp, Freddie Freeman.
Lack of a better comp. Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
That's pretty good. I'm like, yep. I'm listening. So we'll see if that one sticks around. I think he'll be there. He's not on any boards anywhere that I've seen. So I would be surprised if he gets rattled off before my next pick. But
can I ask his age?
No, you may not.
I
will say this, though. He started on his college team, so he doesn't fit your draft.
Oh, okay, profile. College. Yeah, no, I was just going to say, yeah, no, college, I'm out. I've actually been looking at, and I don't know why I mentioned this to you earlier, my first round pick, and again, we're spilling a bit of the tea when we get into the prospect stuff. I drafted 11th in this league. 12th in this league. I got pushed back. Bryce Eldridge with San Francisco was the potential two-way player, but thinking of him ideally as a pitcher, but since he's been drafted, he's hit, you know, four dingers. So Bryce Eldridge, who has Aaron Judge comps. And then as I've been going through this particular draft, I've been noticing more and more of my players are like comps to a major masher if they're a hitter, or like the guys in my queue. They're like, you know, I'm really going for gigantic humans is what I'm saying. Like when the NHL way back when made a big switch and all of a sudden everybody went from being small to being massive and just body checking and destroying everybody. I'm now building an NHL team for my MLB team. So I don't know how that's going to work out long-term. Maybe there'll be a bunch of 6-7 middle of the order hitters that are spread out amongst my team in 6 years. But we'll see. You gotta pick a type, I guess, right? You can't just draft 100%. A bit of everything.
So. Well, I think you have to have a different type every year, and that's how you build a good organization. I think that's a good model, is fill gaps differently every single year. And that's the job, right? We're building for the long term. And that's what we try to help you guys do here at Dinger. So it's a good spot to jump it off here, Robbie. It's been a good night. It's, as always, Tyler and Rob here at Dingers.